Blog Talk Radio.
Coming to you live, straight from the whipping up a poetic fusion of life, love, laughter, inspiration, motivation, education, and mental stimulation.
With a cherry on top, with our weekly hot topics on everyday relations, welcome
to Poetic Energy Blog Talk Radio.
With your host, Poetic Energy herself.
Bringing the electric current with her own poetic flow, weekly featured guests, and open mic segments. She promises to keep the current and the waves live. At all times. Here on Poetic Energy Blog Talk Radio.
Poetic Energy Blog Talk Radio.
The number to chime in and express yourself is 917-932-8881. That's 917-932-8881. Non-U.S. listeners, dial 1-877-218-1183. That's 1-877-218-1183.
Good evening. This is the Poetic Energy Radio Show. I'm your host, Poetic Energy herself. I'm going it solo this evening because this is a special segment that I wanted to do in regards to a book that I have just recently read entitled The Five Lessons a Millionaire Taught Me for Women About Life and Wealth. And the author of that book is Richard Paul Evans. Number one, he's on the New York Times best-selling list. I wanted to do this review this evening because I feel like this is a very, very priceless book. What I can really say about The Five Lessons a Millionaire Taught Me for Women About Life and Wealth by Richard Paul Evans is it's short and sweet and filled with a lot of financial pearls of wisdom. It's a lot of common sense things. It's very reader-friendly. It's not encompassed with so many huge words that most people wouldn't understand. The advice is just valuable. The resources, it's a lot of motivational quotes by various people that he's talked with. It's just an absolute must-read. When I first purchased the book, I came across it on Amazon.com, which, you know, that's where I purchased the book. I actually wasn't looking for a book to become a millionaire. It's just like I felt like I was led to read this book. It wasn't a book that I was seeking out. I was just, you know, I try to support authors, various authors, or trying to find good reading material, whether it be poetry, comedy, drama, financial resources. I like to read all types of books. But when I came across this book, it's just something that within me and my spirit did not want me to pass this book up without purchasing it. So I actually purchased the book the same night that I came across it. One of the things is you know, as a male writing a book, women may become a little skeptical about men writing books that's geared towards women because you feel like a man can see things from a woman's perspective. But that's not really what this book is all about. It's a man writing a book to help women understand the path to taking on, you know, and becoming millionaires if they so choose. And I was really happy when I read the book and very inspired. Once I, you know, began to read the first chapter, the book is just, I couldn't put it down. He uses, you know, when I read the title of the book, The Five Lessons, I said, how much information can he really give us in five lessons? Well, I'm here to tell you that The Five Lessons a Millionaire Taught Me About Life and Wealth, he uses the same five keys as the first book that he put out for men, the statistics and examples aimed at women and the specific financial needs. You know, even though you know, kind of read like a series, another book that an author has written, sometimes, you know, it's just something that's different that he adds to the book. And this was different because it was specifically geared toward women. And I am here to tell you that I was not disappointed at all with the information, that the wealth of information that was in this book. It's almost like you can use this as a financial Bible, so to speak, as a financial guide. I mean, because that's essentially what the Bible is, a guide for life. It's about 118 pages of how-tos and about 60 pages of really great resources. And I've read a lot of financial books in past times, but a lot of them don't always give you many resources. They give you a few here and there, but it's just like 60 pages of resources. That is phenomenal. If you can't get anything out of 60 pages of resources, then I don't know what to tell you. It's not a, you know, it's not an overwhelming book to read. It's just filled with a lot of value, because a lot of people who are not avid readers, they would become discouraged with reading financial books, and they kind of get deterred from reading books because it's so much to read. And a lot of people don't like to sit down and read it. We live in a society where people are moving in a fast pace, and they need to get the information, and they need the information now. Well, this book is not consuming, it's not overwhelming, and it's very reader-friendly. Filled with, again, I must say, just a lot of valuable and very useful information. I'm going to go over a couple of the things, some points in the book. I'm not going to tell you everything because I want to encourage you to read this book. This is especially women. There are a lot of single family homes, and that women are the head of the household. So, you know, this book is a valuable tool for you in the sense that because it tells you, since you're the head of your household, it tells you how to change your mindset about wealth. And one of the things, I'm going to start off with one particular thing that is just in bold print in the book, and this, you know, this will give you a few chuckles, but it's just in the beginning of the book, not even the heart of the book. It says, and this is a bumper sticker quote, so I don't know who the original author is, but it is inside the book. Richard Paul Evans puts this in his book, and it's hilarious. It says, "A man is not a financial plan." I am going to say that again. A man is not a financial plan, ladies. So that means that you have to condition yourself to understand how you're going to support yourself if you should not be blessed to have a husband right away in your life that has money and wealth or different things like that. Create your own wealth. But I really enjoyed that. But, you know, it kind of made me chuckle because a man is not a financial plan. Makes me think that perhaps maybe a man came up with that sticker, but who knows? But anyway, again, about this book, like I said, it's 118 pages of how-tos and about 60 pages of resources. And just because it's small, a small book doesn't mean it's not filled with a lot of information that you can use. Just about every page that I read, you can grab something from it. It's just something that you want to chew on, some wisdom, information that you just want to chew on and that you can absorb and use it in further, you know, situations in your life. It will definitely put you in a direction of making your home financially in order, putting your home financially in order, and kind of give you an overview of what you're possibly doing that is not keeping you on top of your finances. There's just about every, it covers about something for every type of woman in this book, from the financially savvy to the non-financially savvy, I believe that you can really, you know, just gain more. Because you're never, even I don't care how well equipped you are you know, successfully in your mindset, or if you're on the right track financially, you can always learn something more. And because sometimes you do have setbacks with your finances, you know, you can find yourself, you know, financially okay, and then you allow yourself to get off track by things that you are enticed by or tempted by. So this book, in my opinion, is a book that will kind of help you stay on track. And it's something that you want to share with others, you know, that you want to help in their lives, you know, financially, get them some, you know, some financial insight. But this is a book that you can always go back to and they use as a reference tool to constantly, you know, kind of say, if I get off track, I always have this book I can go back to and remind me of the track that I'm on. I kind of believe that I, you know, once I was done reading this book, I found myself excited because I did not know that I was already on this path. And that's one of the reasons I felt that I was led to this book, because to kind of give me some reassurance myself that the things that I have started implementing in my own life, I'm actually on the wrong track and did not know it. So that gave me, reading this book gave me extra encouragement to continue on the path that I'm on. And I want to continue to, you know, share the information, any information that I get with others, so that they can understand things that they, you know, may not pay attention to in their own lives. But again, let me get started with some of the things that you know, I took from this book, and I'm not going to give it all to you because I want you to actually purchase this book for yourself. It's very affordable. I think I paid $15, but I think on Amazon it's now close to $11, and it's worth the investment. That's like two or three Happy Meals if you go to McDonald's on a daily basis. You're spending money on fast food and things of that nature, but this is a valuable piece of tool. I consider this book as a diamond worth $5 million. That's how much I enjoyed and loved this book, because it's user-friendly, gives you a lot of motivational quotes, give you a lot of resources to you know, get you on that right path. They don't just tell you, okay, you should be you should get your finances together. Because there are a lot of hypocritical books out there that tell you, get your finances together, but they don't give you a lot of valuable information or resources to kind of get you started on that path. And so you've read this book and you're stuck. So this book doesn't allow for that. It is like a locomotive. You get this information and you can move forward with the information that you've learned from this book. So I feel that this is a great book for any woman. And even though it's for a woman, I think that any person that picks this book up can really learn great lessons about understanding wealth. And if you choose to be, you know, inspired to be a millionaire, this book will definitely give you the mindset to gaining that path or following that path. Okay, I'm just going to go over some of the five lessons. The first lesson in this book, he says, to decide to be wealthy. That's such a broad statement, and you're probably wondering, how do you decide to be wealthy? Well, some of the things that he offers in this book is just like, wow. You know, it seems simple to say decide to be wealthy. But what he means by that is you have to begin to work in the mind. You have to understand what it is to be wealthy, decide to do that, and so you could be well on your way into becoming a wealthy person. One of the points that he put in the book, most of today's millionaires did not graduate with high honors. Most of them did not even qualify for a top-rated college. In light of this, it is not surprising that Warren Buffett, the self-made multi-billionaire investor, was rejected by Harvard Business School. In fact, research shows that millionaires' average grade point average is lower than the B. On the other hand, highly academic, well-educated people often act like complete fools when it comes to personal finances. It is common knowledge among financial Consultants and America's Most Educated Citizens, doctors and lawyers are notoriously bad at handling their money. I wanted to read that particular passage in the book before we get deep into deciding, because it kind of puts you on the path of deciding to become wealthy. You have to know, a lot of people are intimidated by the wealthy because they feel like, oh, they have all of these things, all of these material things, so they are wealthy people. Or you have to have a certain educational level or status in order to be wealthy. Well, here is one of the first things I felt in the book that dispels that myth, that you have to be highly educated. Don't get me wrong. I have an formal education, but I feel like college is not for everyone, and that because you don't have a college education does not mean that you cannot obtain wealth. This is why I wanted to, you know, point one of these things out in the book, because a lot of people believe that if they do not have a formal education or a top college degree, that they cannot obtain wealth. That is not the case. You can obtain anything you set your heart out to, anything you prepare yourself and your mind for. One of the other things that he put in the book, so I really wanted to bring out that point. So all of those that may come across the archives and listen to this, I want you to know that wealth is attainable for you. It all begins in the mind. So decide to be wealthy. And here are some of the things that, you know, some of his wisdom that he allows for us to begin to change that mindset. This book is just like a little therapy for those who want to obtain wealth. Here's one of the points that I wanted to look at in the book. It says, the wealthy understands the principles of accumulating wealth and lives them. Now, accumulating means that it doesn't happen overnight. I wanted to bring out that because he has it bold in his book, even before he gets into lesson one. I wanted to bring out that point because a lot of people feel that wealth just happens, and it's just you make a wish and the genie comes and boom, you're wealthy. But it doesn't happen like that. You have to actually prepare for wealth. And wealth is accumulated over time. And he also addresses, before anybody, opposes what I just said, we will talk about those who gain wealth overnight and how they're unable to really keep wealth because they don't understand how to maintain wealth. Another passage in the book, it says, some wealthy people learned the principles of accumulating riches through trial and error. Some, like myself, learned from mentors or parents, and for some, it just came naturally. But whatever this knowledge source, I do not know a single self-made millionaire who does not understand and apply the five principles my millionaire friends taught me that day. This is good news for everyone else because it means that wealth is less a matter of circumstance than a matter of knowledge and choice. Knowledge of the five lessons means that you can choose to live the life you desire. I wanted to read this passage because it says wealth is the life, to choose the life that you desire. If you desire to be wealthy, then it begins with you. It begins with you if you want to use that life. So that was a good point in the book that I wanted to actually bring out. So ultimately it comes back to you. Do you want to be wealthy? That's a question you have to ask yourself. If so, he says, let's get started. So that begins with lesson one. He starts out by asking the question, who wants to be a millionaire? I know that a lot of people ask themselves or say that I want to be a millionaire. I want to, but why do you want to be a millionaire? Just for the recognition or the fame or the status? Better yet, if you want to be a millionaire, how are you going to become a millionaire? You can't just say that I want to be a millionaire and then magically millions enter into your bank account. This is a passage by that he's quoting from Betty Lehan Harrigan. It says, women have been so brainwashed by the destructive female culture that taught them to associate money with sin, evil, and everything crude that it will take an entire book to disentangle the subconscious fears and incredible fantasies that the simple now money evokes in most women. Now, one of the things that, you know, I get from that, just reading that, is that it's a mental, she's right, that a lot of us have been brainwashed. It used to be where it was, you know, men who really attained wealth back in, you know, yesteryears. But it's something attainable for all of us. But women specifically, because this is a book geared to women, women specifically, one of the things that we need to do is change our mind about what wealth is and decide that we are able to obtain wealth. We don't necessarily deserve wealth, because a lot of people feel like, oh, I deserve it, so I should have it. But that's not a proper mindset to have. Because everybody is going to feel like they deserve wealth, but not, you know, what are you going to do to get that wealth? Decide to be wealthy is a first lesson. One of the passages, you know, I have a lot of writing in this book. I wish I could have actually did this on a visual, something visual, and someday I will. I'm going to read a couple of passages, and then I'm going to move quite along because we only got an hour for the show. If you're like most women, you don't think rich, and if you don't think rich, you certainly don't consciously engage in behaviors that will contribute to getting rich. And that is so true, because, you know, the behavior of a wealthy person is quite different. It's a lot of things that that you do differently than regular folk. Because a person who's not used to having money, they won't know how to handle money. And so, therefore, they don't approach dealing with money or managing money the same as a person that who understands wealth. But let me just read some of these other truths, and then it's because I'm going to try to get through this very quickly, because I do really prefer you to buy the book, but I just to share some information in this book. One good truth that I got out of the book is, in order to be truly happy, we must live balanced lives. To be in great fiscal health is very much like being in great physical health. A lot of people don't understand, but this, you know, this was a good truth for me in the book, because a lot of people only focus on financial wealth and not physical health. Really, when people are bogged down with financial worries, that adversely affects their health, because some people go in deep depression. Some people, you know, because they worry so much that they begin to feel all types of pains and don't realize that it's associated with the burden of being unfinancially stable. So this book is just really, really a phenomenal book, and you really can't go through everything in 1 hour. And you know, I didn't want to, but I kind of just wanted to point out some, you know, some good things. And this is just, again, decide to be wealthy. And these are some of the points of just beginning to get your mind conditioned to understanding that it has to start with you making a decision to, you know, prepare yourself to be obtaining wealth or to managing what you have. One of the things that another point in before we go on to the second lesson. One of the great points in the book that he makes, before you can make the decision to be wealthy, you must have a concept of what being wealthy looks like. Understanding wealth begins by discarding the distorted media injured notions you may have acquired concerning what what it is to be rich. Like I have mentioned before, a lot of people associate wealth with people have driving fine cars, having elaborate homes, and having these huge, big careers. Yes, they have many things, and on the surface, it appears that they are very wealthy people. But do you know there's a large percentage of people who have all these things who are not wealthy people? There's another book that I've read, The Millionaire Next Door, and it talks about a lot of things in that book, too. But one of the great things about in that book is that the people that they mentioned who were wealthy in that book, you would never have known that they were wealthy because they lived very frugal lives. It doesn't mean that you should not appreciate yourself and have nice things. It means that you should decide how to spend your money wisely. The time is ticking really quickly, so I just kind of want to hurry up and go through. Let me read this part. Most people you see trying to look wealthy are part of the look-rich crowd. An expensive car or home does not make one wealthy, and I just said that. That's part of the book. The fact that opposite is more likely true. The path I'm recommending teaches individuals how to achieve a real and enduring affluent lifestyle based on spiritual and life-centered values. That was good truth because it's something that it's a spiritual connection, too. So we've just said that it's spiritually, and it deals with your health, it's your spirit, all of those things that encompass with a person being having a mindset of a wealthy person, because when you think about it, affluent people, wealthy people do really think about their health, those who are managing it properly, thinking about their health, their wealth, and they're very mindful of the things that they're very prepared with their lifestyles. One of the good points that's another point that I want about as a Napoleon Hill wrote in his classic book Think and Grow Rich. He quotes, and that's also included in Richard Paul Evans' book, "Riches begin with a state of mind with definiteness of purpose, with little or no hard work." It doesn't mean that you don't have to work to get what you have in life. It does mean that you have to prepare and have a commitment to start yourself on a path to obtaining wealth and riches. And notice the key word commitment and plan. It's not something that, again, commitment, plan, is not something that everybody's trying to, and I'm not knocking people who play the lottery, don't get me wrong, but most times, 99.9% of the time, people that play the lottery and hit big, almost all of them go back to that same lifestyle that they lived prior to winning the lottery big, and there's been so many specials done on that, and it's the reason, the number one reason why is because they obtained wealth, but they didn't know how to manage it and keep it, and they didn't have the mindset of a person that understands about accumulating wealth over time, and their minds was, you know, oh, I have this money, and what kicks in is that they immediately begin to spend, because now they feel like they have all the money in the world, but they don't know, they don't teach themselves how to keep that wealth, manage that wealth, and invest it in various places. Let me move very quickly because the time is, I'm already in 30 minutes in just the lesson plan, but it's hard to dissect this book, but even though it has few pages, it's just so much wealth of information in that you want to share with a person. One particular thing that I definitely want to say is, in this book it says, psychologists have proven that the simple act of writing down an intention, even if you don't fully believe it, can yield powerful psychological results. And I stand behind that statement 100% because there is also a scripture in the Bible that says to write the vision and make it plain. People think that this applies to just religious living, But that's a very good spiritual principle in life in itself, period. You have to write things down. If you desire to become a best-selling author, you have to write down a plan on how you're going to achieve that goal. If you want to open up a restaurant, you have to write it down on how you're going to achieve that goal. Even if you don't have the money or the resources to do it, it begins with the state of mind of deciding that you want to be wealthy. That's one of the number one lesson that's in Richard Paul Evans' book, is deciding to become wealthy. I'm going to conclude and go on to the next lesson, is taking responsibility for your money. Okay, you've written a great business plan or just written some ideas. You want to get things in motion, and you've already started that. You have a business, you've written a book, or you've opened up any type of business that you set out to open, and you've done that. But now, the next lesson he tells us is take responsibility for your money. If you don't control your money will control you. That's one point that I wanted to bring out that I got from the book, because it's so true. You can have all the money in the world, but if you don't know how to manage it, you will have that money today, and the next few weeks you won't have it again, or even perhaps the next day. Because if you don't manage money properly, you'll just run out of your hands like water running out of a faucet, because you don't know, most times people don't keep on top of what they're spending. All they know is that they have it to spend, and it feels, it's a great feeling that, oh, yes, I have this money, and I don't have to think about, what I'm spending, because I have all this money. I'm going to always have this money. And that is a mindset that you do not want to have, because every wealthy person, real wealthy people, think about what they have in investments, nest eggs. They think about their portfolio, their financial portfolio, on a regular basis. Don't get me wrong. They don't worry about them. They think on these things. They manage them properly. And he just says, taking control of your money begins with taking responsibility. That's the second lesson that he has in his book. The next point is a good truth that is a quote by Sally Berger that he has included in his book. It comes out, the secret of getting ahead is getting started. Getting started. You hear that? Getting started. So many people procrastinate because they begin to worry about, I don't have this, I don't know this. It begins with your mindset, deciding that you want to do something, writing it down. That is, even though you can't see it, but that is actually moving you closer in the right step. And it also includes, for those who are believers, that is an act of faith too. You're believing, you're putting in motion. Don't worry about your finances. Don't worry about, when I say don't worry about your finances, I mean don't worry about where you're going to come up with the money, but get it in motion. Write down your plan. Write down your idea, because you never know what path or who you're going to come up with that can help you connect the dots and find your resources on how you can get started with your idea, your business, or what have you. You got to know how much money you're working with, and the only way to do that is to, sit down and put everything, lay all your cards on the table, and understand what you are worth as an individual. And don't be afraid that you may be in the negative. This is part of the plan of deciding to be wealthy, taking responsibility. You're beginning just by sitting down and putting all your financial responsibilities, laying everything on the table to visually see them. Is you taking responsibility for your money. Even if you're afraid that you're going to be a negative, you're on the right path, because you have to understand where you are in order for you to understand where you're trying to get to. And you can't get there if you don't understand where you are. So this is that was a good point in the book that I really, because it's a good principle. It's a simple principle, But it's something that, you know, everybody can relate to and understand. He's not using a whole lot of huge words or anything. Just, you know, valuable information and resources. So the second lesson, let's go over it again. The first lesson is decide to be wealthy. The second lesson is take responsibility for your money. And that's by sitting down and visually taking a good, great look at where you are financially and planning from there. I'm going to skip to principle lesson three. Let's keep a portion of everything you earn. Now, I know with times being the way they are today, it's very tough for anybody to really kind of save things. But if you think about it, we waste more money by going to fast-paced restaurants. Just think about it. What we need to do is to stop living a convenient life and live a prepared life. That's a quote from me. That's one I came up with after I read this book. Because if we prepare more, and I mean like prepare our food, we won't be as compelled to go out to the fast food restaurant, because that's what it is. It's convenience. So people like to pay for convenience. If they can just roll up to the restaurant and get their food, then they're paying $5-6, depending on where you live at, for a meal. And which is, nine times out of ten, most of the time, is not healthy for you and affecting your health, then we would learn to be able to, we would realize that we do really have money, a little money that we could put away from our monthly earnings or weekly earnings, that we could put away for, to build up on our nest egg. And you have to be, you have to condition your mind, you have to be committed, you have to plan, and you also have to be, have a strong will to not to touch it, even though you have it. And I know that it's a hard task to do for most people, but it's something, if you're deciding that you want to walk the path of the wealthy, it's just something that you have to pull from within yourself to bring you to yourself to do. That to, you know, begin to save a portion, even if it's like 10% of your earnings. Don't think about it. Put it in an investment. And in this book talks about investing, having a nest egg, and not just one nest egg. Wealthy people also, they don't put their investments just in one place, because that can prove to be a fatal circumstance if you don't know how to invest your money in various things. But again, you have to buy the book, because it fills you with a lot of information. It's not hard to grasp onto the pearls of wisdom that is in this book. One of the things, another quote that I highlighted in the book, I found the road to wealth when I decided that a part of all I earned was mine to keep. We really work to pay other people for services, for things we want to eat on a regular basis. We really, when you think of in terms of that, we really pay work to pay other people. So why not pay yourself, literally pay yourself to, you know, to plan for your future. And if your future, if you want to be in, have in your future a person that obtains millionaire status, then it's going to cost for you to take responsibility and keep a portion of your earnings. That's the fourth lesson. In the book, he kind of talks about, gives you a 10%, gives you a chart that if you save 10% of your earnings, if you start from year one to 40 years, what you obtain, if you make, he has, let me just bring out this little point that he has in the book. He says if you earn $50,000 a year, and you just plug in your income that you make a year, but for the first year, if you put 10% of your $50,000 away, 10% each paycheck, The first year, you would have saved $5,309. Over 40 years, you know, he's just using an example, but it could happen sooner for others, and, you know, could happen not, but he's using a realistic chart that over 40 years that if you put 10% of your money away, you will be a multimillionaire. And that's phenomenal. Then he breaks it down to 15%. If you put 15%, if you can afford to do 15%, he gives you the chart of where you would be financially. If you use 20%, you know, how you could build your wealth. So this is accumulation over time. This is a good principle that he's applying to everyone. And not every circumstance or situation will apply to everyone. But, again, this book is just so valuable. It's hard to really dissect it because it's just like you want to share all the information, but you just can't. But because this, I only had an hour for the show, I just wanted to, you know, make people aware of this book and this priceless piece of, I think it's a treasure because it just has so much information that you can use as a, you know, just a regular person. I want to read this. It says, likewise, the most powerful way to encourage new wealth accumulating behavior is to see visible, tangible results. I found that the best way to do that is to create tangible wealth, to have something you can watch grow in fiscal terms. This is called a nest egg. A nest egg. Investing your resources, your financial resources in different things. So the accumulation of wealth is a satisfying thing because you can physically, a lot of people need to see visually. You know, you could give them all the information in the world, but if they can't see it, then they can't really grasp on to the concept or believe what is going on that their wealth is building. So that you need to, if you're a visual person, then you know that you have to do things that invest your money in various things. And the book gives you some resources and you know, some things that you could do. But a nest egg is very important for every woman to have. It's always, a woman should have always, a bank account where she's accumulating wealth or investing her money in things that's accumulating her wealth over time. We're going to go very quickly to the last principle, which is win in the margins. No, that's the fourth principle. Win in the margins. He kind of, I'll let you guys, I won't really go in there, but there's a lot of things that he talked about in the book regarding that certain things that you could do within the margin. But let me skip to the last principle, which is give back. Even though you have wealth, you have to learn to give back and use wisdom in giving. It doesn't mean that every person that you walk across that you should give them money or every family member that you should give should be obliged to give them money. That's not what we're saying. You should put your give back in worthwhile things because it's a rewarding feeling to give back to the community because you understand where you came from, where you've been, and how you had what you have to do to attain that wealth. So it's very important to give back because it's just like in the Bible, the law of reaping and sowing. When you sow something, you reap. So it's just the same principle. When you give, it comes back to you. You know, and it doesn't always mean financial, but it could be spiritually. It could be health-wise. It could be a lot of things. Don't just think in terms of money, but think in terms of the overall wealthy and healthy lifestyle. He bring out a lot of points. He share a lot of things that he did as a lad to understand some, you know, obtain some wealth. One of the things I do want to share is that he worked at a former wealth shop and his boss was throwing away a lot of outdated tuxedo suits and from the 60s. And he asked his boss what he was going to do with those items. His boss told him he was going to throw them away. So he asked his boss, can he, purchase those things so he can resell them? And do you know that he made $16,000. His boss didn't see the, he was going to throw them away, but he didn't see what he, as a young lad, that you can, you know, there's a saying, another man's treasure, I mean, another man's junk is another man's treasure. Well, in this, you know, in this, essentially what happened, excuse me, that he saw an opportunity to sell those suits, and he made $16,000 selling those suits, old suits. Who knew that there would possibly be a market? But you never know where there's a market for something unless you try, because, it, you know, there are a lot of things that you could actually really do out here that, that's different and then that no one else is doing, then perhaps someone else wouldn't even think about, and that can help you financially get where you want to be. I do want to cover before, I have 14 minutes left to the show, but this is important for me to share this, because a lot of people, it gives a lot of ideas. You could sell pre-owned clothing. You know, you have eBay. You have other. You could do a lot of things out here to obtain. Well, even in the financial, circumstance the world is in, the economy is in, there are, you don't know, you might be sitting on $1 million sitting up in your home from things that you don't even use anymore that other people can utilize, and you don't even know it, but it takes initiative. It takes you deciding what you want to do next. I do want to kind of quickly point out some of the things that, some ideas that he put out there for the millionaire mentality. He says, the millionaire mentality believes that freedom and power are better than momentary pleasure, I'm sorry about that. A lot of people are into instant gratification, but people with the mindset, the wealthy have a mindset, they have a mindset of believing that the freedom and power are better than momentary pleasure. They have the freedom to do what they so desire to do to attain financial wealth. The millionaire mentality does not equate spending with happiness. A lot of people spend because it makes them happy that, you know, they have the money to spend. But in the long run, they don't see down the road that they will become unhappy. So many marriages are breaking up because people spend, and, you know, in a non-frugal way, they spend money that they think they have, but they really don't have in the long run. So this is another reason why I think this is a very good resource for a woman to read, because a woman is supposed to be the helpmate to her husband or her significant other or her partner or what have you. And if you have these principles that you've implemented in your life, it can adversely help you, directly help you, in a relationship that, you know, you can share with your partner on things that you have learned. Of course, you know, not everybody will get it, so hopefully your partner will get what you're trying to say, but this is a good resource to say, you know, if you have, you know, situations or circumstances that you and your spouse are dealing financially with some issues, this is a good resource to say, look, honey, you know, I'm not into, you know, just books giving me how, you know, telling me how we should run our life. But I do think this is a very, 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 very valuable piece of literature that can help us stay on the right path or help us both to see things from a different point of view. The millionaire mentality protects the next egg. Again, it doesn't mean that a millionaire worries about all their finances constantly every day, 24/7, worrying about their money. But they take the necessary steps and actions to keep an eye on what they're spending, keep an eye on where they're investing, and managing all of their investments properly, and making sure that if they don't know how to do everything themselves, that they have a very educated person that knows what they're doing in the area of finances, and somebody that's trustworthy. That's very important. And they also know that with wealth, you have to ensure your wealth. So you have to learn different terminology, you have to educate yourself with different terminology, which he provides in the book, various terminology wealthy often use. because it really directly goes and coincides with understanding how to manage your wealth. I wish that I could really talk about this whole book. This book is really, you know, it could be implemented in the classroom, to be honest with you. You know, it's just so much, for, you know, so few pages, but a wealth of information. And really why I'm doing this book really is to share wealth, because I feel like I have a responsibility to share the lessons of proper money management with others. Because I, you know, it's something that, like I told you earlier, that I was compelled to buy this book. And I feel like some of the principles that I've applied in my own life is preparing me for that, for this path. And so, I'm trying to pass it on to others. Is begin to, we will be doing other shows in the future, you know, on understanding wealth, finances, and different things of that nature. But this is a very good book to start off with. I think it's a great book club discussion for people who are interested in attaining wealth and understanding wealth and getting on the right path. But very quickly, I'm going to share some of the things that they share that jobs to increase your income. Some people work multiple jobs to buy more things, but it shouldn't be that way. You should, if you want to work another job, it should be to maintain the wealth and to begin to invest in your wealth for your future. He gives a really good list of things that you could possibly think about in addition to, you know, income that you're making on your daytime. If you have a daytime job and you have a little time to do something on the side here, he gives a list of, on page 145 in his book. Let me just read through some of the things that he suggests that, you know, maybe good opportunities for you to make some extra income. Wait tables on the weekends. Turn your hobbies into jobs. You never know how much your hobby that you like. You never know who in the world would, you know, has that same hobby or wants to learn about that hobby or like what you do, but they can't do it themselves. So you can make that into an opportunity where you sell things from your own hobby. I said, learn to make jewelry and sell it at a local fairs. There's a lot of fairs all over the globe. Teach cooking classes. There are so many women who want to learn how to cook, gourmet cooking. If you know how to do gourmet cooking or just any type of certain type of cooking, I've known that I want to cook, you know, take some cooking classes to do it, like, you know, learn how to do different cultural dishes. So that's a great opportunity for somebody to take up and make some extra money. Teach piano lessons if you know how to play the piano. Babysit, house sit. People need people that to sit in their houses, you know, watch their houses for when they go out of town frequently. Clean houses or office buildings. There are always postings and job opportunities for people to clean office buildings. This is something very simple. If you clean your own house, that would be a pretty good thing to make some extra money. Refurbish furniture and sell it to consignment stores. Pick up a paper route. Repair cars if you know how to. Put up and take down other people's Christmas lights. It's so taxing for some people to, they hate putting up Christmas lights and things of that nature. Then he goes on to say, do freelance work, start a lawn care business. This is something that you can do that wouldn't interfere with your life, as far as time-wise, because it's just something that you do in your spare time. Or if you feel like you don't have enough time, you can definitely make time when you know you're going to make some money from it. Help coach a local sporting team. Become a massage therapist. This is something that people love. This is something that you could do mobily, again, on in your spare time on the weekends or in the evenings. Teach private swim lessons because so many kids and even adults never learned how to swim and want to learn. Sell homemade rolls or treats around the holidays. These are things that won't take up a lot of your time. But these are some wonderful ideas that he gives in this book. This is just a valuable, valuable piece of literature here. Get certified and teach aerobics or water aerobics. If you are good at photography, start a small business doing that. Breed animals. teach language lessons, if you speak more than one language fluently. Some people would love to, you know, learn Spanish, Russian, any other, you know, Swahili. You know, it's a lot of languages that people don't know and they don't want to pay expensive prices to learn it. You can do that in your communities, look into credible home-based business opportunities. It's just a wealth of information, and I just wanted to do this book review because this is one of the best books I have read in many years, and I just stand behind it 100%. I don't know author Richard Paul Evans personally. He's not paying me to say all these wonderful things about his book, but I know a good read when I know a good read because I am an avid reader. And again, the list goes on with all the valuable information and the resources that he gives you and ideas, motivational quotes. The must read is very affordable. It's not. He's not trying to make a multi-million dollars off of educating people, but he's giving you something very valuable at a very affordable price. Whereas you go to all these workshops, you spend thousands of dollars just to go to a workshop that you still leave from the workshop not knowing which direction to go. But this book, The Five Lessons a Millionaire Taught Me for Women About Life and Wealth by author Richard Paul Evans, is a great read, and it definitely will put you in the right track of understanding the path that you want to take as becoming or pursuing the lifestyle of a millionaire or becoming a millionaire. I want to end the show by saying that I came up with a quote it reads as follows: Greatness rests upon the heads of those who are to be anointed by her hands and drenched with the release of her power to walk in her paths, hence, now, and forever. And I am known as Poetic Energy, author Michelle E. Alford. And that's a quote that I came up with after reading this book, because I think that you can only walk the path that you wish to walk by applying these five lessons to your life. I thank God that I came in contact with this book and with the information in this book, because it let me know that I am on the right path. I'll share with you just briefly that, I own my home free and clear. I own my cars free and clear. They're not, the 2010, but I'm in a position where I'm on the track where I don't have to worry about, huge finances. I just pay my utilities. But I promised myself that I would not continue to live a life where money was controlling me, but I am controlling my money. So this is my encouragement for today, and I'm hoping that someone who comes across this show, that you will be able to understand what I'm talking about, be motivated to buy this book. Again, I'm not being paid to endorse this book or anything, but I wouldn't endorse this book if I didn't feel very sure about the information that is in it. It's just common sense information, valuable resource, motivation quotes again, and very valuable information that you really apply to your life. And I hope that it encourages someone that comes across the show that you can be a millionaire. All you have to do is decide that. And I hope to meet you in the millionaire spot. Don't strive just for money, but strive to be a person of resources that wants to do something with the resources that you have and give back. Once you obtain the wealth, give back to those, your community, and those who support you in your path. Use wisdom, and thank you for listening. You have been listening to the Poetic Energy Radio Show, and I am so glad that I had an opportunity to speak on this topic, and perhaps maybe we'll speak on it sometime again in the future. But be blessed, be encouraged, decide to be a millionaire, because you can obtain it. With or without a formal education, it's just all up to you. God bless.
save my life.